Hey guys, Sklar Brothers here with Daniel Van Kirk.
It's our show.
And our guest on Dumb People Town is the great Scott Aukerman. Did you have fun in the town, sir?
I loved being in the town, but now I must exit the premises.
You must
drive across county lines.
Well, the thing about leaving Dumb People Town, you usually have to be escorted. It's like Rambo, first 20 minutes.
Yes. By the way, we've had, in this episode, two amazing lawsuits.
Yeah.
Unbelievable lawsuits. Yeah. Unbelievable lawsuits. Yes.
That I filed against you guys.
Right. The witch is going to get you.
The witch is going to get you, and then something else.
Two lawsuits, HPV, and some nuts.
There you go.
You figure it out.
The truck guy should have sued the school.
That's just, yes. I agree. To make it perfect. Find out what we're talking about by listening to this week's episode.
Boom.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Storm. You'll find out what happened to Frankenstein and other stuff that never happened. Freaking nerds.
The Boogie Monster, podcasting the unknown.
Fucking pranks, dude.
Oh yeah,
we're rolling.
You fucker.
I mean, I don't know if we're rolling because you got to do stuff with your computer.
Yeah, we're rolling, dude.
Is it really?
Yeah, man.
All right, well, go on. Go and pour your Pepsi.
Pepsi.
Go pour your Pepsi in your wine cup of Jim Beam.
Fuck, we're in Alabama. They have Coke.
Check. Hello.
That's how aggressive. What are those? What you have?
I have what?
Dave, you have two pills next to next to three quarters, like a real true detective curse. Like, what's going on? You got 75 cents next to two pills that you're taking right now. You're actively taking.
But echinacea.
Are you going to die right now?
Mm-mm.
Are you trying to die?
Mm-mm.
Are you actively like 75 cents is the weight of the soul?
Uh-huh.
What was that movie?
21 grams.
All right. Well, maybe. How much is 21 grams? What drug is 75 cents for 21 grams?
Taffy? I don't know.
You just paid off your taffy debt?
Mm-hmm. A taffy dealer. What's up, dude?
Oh, man.
You okay?
Well.
Fun, right. Kyle.
Let's set it up.
Uh-huh.
Where are we at?
We're in Huntsville, Alabama.
Specifically.
Should we say?
Weston. We're at the Weston.
Yeah. We'll be gone by the time this hits the airways.
Yeah, fucking freaks ain't going to catch us.
Room 425 of the Weston.
Yeah. Freaks ain't going to sniff our tail.
How you feeling, buddy?
Creeps ain't gonna get up our butts.
Yeah. Make sure everything's.
Yeah, no, double check. Check. Yeah. I'm leaning over a tub of hummus right now.
How's that room temperature hummus?
But, like, why would anybody eat temperature hummus at another temperature?
Mm-hmm. We were contemplating that earlier.
Hummus is supposed to be room temperature.
Yeah. But it is refrigerated at the store. And there's no dairy in it.
On the occasion that you're gonna get it home. But hummus, as I'm eating it,
mm-hmm.
as it sat in the car since yesterday, delicious.
Mm-hmm.
What, as a culinary fanatic, as a cuisine stan, what foods should be room temperature?
Oh, that's
should
a great
be
question.
At the exact temperature as your body. Like what food should be the same temperature as like a nice swimming pool? But you put it in your mouth, you're like, oh, yeah, that me and this food, we've been hanging out in the same at the same party for a while.
That's a great question. You put me on the spot. I can't think. I was going to say a sandwich, but the meat shouldn't be 96 degrees.
Really?
Well,
what temperature should it be?
I mean, a cold cut, when I'm thinking like a cold sandwich, you'd want that meat to be somewhat chilled, no?
I've been off that game for a while, but I feel like I'm only used to sandwiches that got packed in my lunch
mm-hmm.
and left a refrigerator at 7:30 a.m.
Yeah.
and got consumed at noon.
Yeah.
So not only were they room temperature, but they were locker infused.
Yeah, bologna and cheese with a little yellow mustard.
Like a grade school locker should be like. If you wanted to sell lunch meat now, you could be like dry aged. dry-aged grade school locker 6 hours mm-hmm. and be like, this bologna does smell like cleaning chemicals mm-hmm. and one nervous child who peed his pants mm-hmm. nearby.
Yeah.
And would be like, well, it's not good, but it's nostalgic.
Granola bars.
You know what? Has any flavor entered your realm that it's not a good flavor, but it's a nostalgic flavor, so you accept it?
Oh, man, that's a good
like
one.
Music, like, I know this isn't a good band, but it sounds like something I would have listened to, so I'm going to dig it. I'm here with a hard-digging question. Dave, mm-hmm. let's set the table.
Yeah.
We are in Huntsville.
Uh-huh.
We just did a show.
Yeah.
The show was great.
Yeah.
I haven't been drunk for a week.
Yeah.
Your boy turned it up.
Yeah. You got into it tonight, buddy.
I had a piece of it. Last night I went wild. I had 3 chicken wings. I broke edge. I'm off the rails, dude. I'll scream in this Westin, dude. I'll scream in this Westin.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got your credit card for incidentals, so go for it.
All right, all right. Let's all. Nobody needs to be a jerk right now.
Yeah. No, we're adults.
My Capital One's down there. Let's all behave. Let's not be a jerk.
Tonight was night 6 of a 10-day run. Was it 6? Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Yeah, 6. And yeah, just 10 consecutive dates in a row. No days off.
No, just, man. Just like we're at work.
Like a high school baseball player. No days off. There's some web series I've been watching where you got like
high school baseball players don't have days off.
There's some web series. I think it might be called No Days Off, where they interview like young phenoms. It's like some 13-year-old.
I'm gonna hold my mic.
You got it.
Hold on. Sorry for this confusion. That's right, all right now, buddy. Listeners.
I like your little.
Let's see. All right, check.
I like your little anal bead mic stand there. That's pretty cool.
It's an articulated mic stand. Mm-hmm. It can grab and grip.
Mm-hmm.
It can grab around anything.
It can grab and grip.
All right, Dave, you know what? I want to empower you to take the upper hand.
Okay.
I'm drunk.
Yeah.
You're not.
Yeah. And we have nothing planned either, by the way. There's no.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Sorry, real listeners. Different. What a surprise episode. There's nothing planned. As opposed to us going, what if interdimensional Mexicans were really the true barbecue chefs of Texas, and then we never mention it again?
Mm-hmm.
We don't even have that.
Yeah.
But also, I just introduced an amazing topic for later.
That's pretty good.
Interdimensional Mexicans. Intermexical dimensions.
Mm-hmm. Well.
I decided to have cocktails after the show.
Yeah. I watched you. It's fun to watch you go from stone cold sober to whatever bullshit beer you're drinking drunk.
We got pushed.
We talked for 2 hours after the show about random beers with the club owner.
We're looking at each other.
Mm-hmm. This is the first time we've done a live face-to-face episode. And
we're just holding microphones staring at each other. In a like fucking hotel room.
Like the good old days.
Well, what happened in the good old days? It was us going like, do you believe in this? Not really. Me neither. Let's go fuck ourselves.
Yeah.
And now, behind you is a... you don't have the fountain.
Yeah, I'm sorry, everybody.
Dave got the shit room.
Yeah. Oh, are you looking at a fountain in your room?
I got a fountain out my room.
Man.
Dave's got a parking lot. Same exact room.
Oprah gets a fountain. Oprah gets a parking lot. Headliner gets a fountain.
Do you care? Are these blinds really going to be open for your night?
Yeah, I like to keep them open.
Because last night we're in a place where like our room faced the courtyard.
Yeah, I like that.
Like an indoor courtyard. You like that?
I like the indoor courtyard. I really do.
I feel like that's what's going to be happening when you live on Mars.
Mm-hmm.
Is where your window opens to an indoor sanctuary. Like, look. Plants from back when you lived on Earth,
mm-hmm.
but never forget we live in this pod to prevent us from dying. That's how I feel in those places, and I didn't like it.
Yeah, I never thought of it that way.
Sorry, man.
Mm-hmm, that's okay.
I didn't mean to ruin the idea of an indoor of having a view. Like, oh my! I open a window, but it's still inside.
You know why I think?
Why is there a window there? You're inside.
Well, I don't know. I like it, though. I think it might be nostalgia for me because the first hotel I can ever remember staying in
was on Mars.
It was in Montgomery, Alabama.
Same.
Went with my family to a rodeo.
All right.
We stayed.
Here we go.
We stayed at I think it was a Ramada Inn, but it was like a nice Ramada Inn, not like they are today. Now Ramada's like a 2.5-star hotel.
Ramada's had some traction back in the day.
This was probably like 1981, 1982. I was really young. I remember it being like a 10-story hotel, and it had the interior courtyard, and it had the open. The open elevator, you know, where you could see that you could see inside the elevator.
I understand the attraction.
Uh-huh. I just thought that was so neat. It's the first time I'd ever been.
You still think it's neat?
I don't mind it. I think it's pretty cool. Cause like I had my blinds open, I could just look down and see. I could see right there at the front desk. I could check up on those guys. See what they're doing.
What are they doing?
Did you, by the way, this
are they
more,
just being a front desk person?
Yeah, you know, it's just like, it's like if you had a balcony or something, you know, in the city center. You could see the commerce, you can see the citizens, you can see, the thriving, bustling town. By the way, this morning, did you smell like French toast? We shared a wall this morning.
I feel like you're just having almost a stroke at all times. I think you're so close. I mean, I didn't smell pennies, but it definitely smelled like a fraction.
It smelled like French toast this whole morning. And I think it's because we were right above the little continental breakfast bullshit thing, which I never partake in. Free breakfast is never
good. If I'm up early enough to get the continental breakfast, I'm like, I'm either late for a flight or early for a flight. I'm not going to fuck around.
I don't need powdered eggs.
You don't?
No. I'm not well to do, but I'm doing better than that now.
Free is my favorite flavor, man.
Free is great when you need it.
Nah, free is great always.
Yeah,
Have you
had a continental breakfast lately? It's usually garbage.
You would skip the eggs, but like when it's like, oh, watch your own pancake get made. Yeah, dog. Make your own waffle bar.
I mean, that...
Dave, straight up, look at me in the face, because you can do that.
Uh-huh.
No waffle bar.
I don't give a fuck about a waffle bar.
You don't... Like a Dixie cup full of the batter that tells you how much, and you pour it in there, and you flip the waffle yourself.
Well, the thing is, I'm more quality than quantity, you know? It's never good.
Are you?
Yeah, I like the good shit, man.
You're going to sit there right now. You're gonna sit there and look at me in the face of your quality over quantity.
Yeah, that's why I don't eat fucking Jack in the Box or Taco Bell. I used to because I had to. You know, I don't have to do that anymore. I used to because I had to. But
back in the fucking trenches.
Yeah.
No. Back when the only thing
I don't shine shoes no more.
After you fucking scrambled, after you crab clawed your way up the beach under enemy fire, and the only options. Or Taco Bell, or KFC.
Yeah,
and you're like, fuck! I need sustenance to take over the enemy.
There were times where I would spend $2 a day on food. I'd get the two tacos for lunch at Jack in the Box, and then I'd go and get the two tacos for dinner at Jack in the Box, and the two for $1. And you know,
how long did you have to do that for?
I mean, a couple. Of years.
This isn't like putting you on the spot.
Well, first few years in LA. You know, I didn't have any fucking money.
I mean, I remember the days of like I'm gonna get this because I feel like I'm saving money, but then I'd be so hungry later. Like I gotta get some food.
Yeah, because it's not real food.
A whole honestly, we should do a meal based on like or a meal should do an episode based on poor meals.
Okay,
of like where are you gonna get your best bets?
Mm-hmm.
I love the fried chicken meal from a grocery store.
Okay.
And I feel like these things have been discussed, but now I'm drunk. I had chicken wings last night. And I broke edge, dude.
Yeah,
we were at the Alp. We played Atlanta last night,
dude.
The show was amazing.
It was awesome.
Honestly, every show this tour has been fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've all been fun.
Even the first three nights were two shows a night. Even the second shows that might have been weird or whatever, still great.
Yeah,
every show has been great. And then last night was Atlanta, hometown for you.
Man, that was fun.
You fucking killed it.
I did okay.
You did great.
Well, thank you. You killed it, man.
Shaunak Gudkindy, who opened for us.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to Shaunak Gudkindy.
You said it much more smooth than I did. I wanted to get it right.
Yeah. Great comic.
He fucking cracked it open.
Uh-huh.
The importance of a dude that just rolled out there. No, zero stress on that dude. What's this, a big show? Whatever. How's it going, everybody? Crack that egg open. You rolled right into that. It was a great show.
It was so much fun. It was one of those, like, not to get sappy, but it was one of
get
those.
Get sappy, man.
Man.
Nobody gives a shit what we think about ghosts anymore. Fucking talk about your feelings.
Dude.
Legit talk about your feelings.
Last night was one of those rewards for all the years of shit shows. Not that every show I have done has been shit show, but you know what I mean. Coming up, you're doing fucking Mexican restaurants and truck stops and wherever you can get stage time.
Ease up on the Mexicans.
Open mics, whatever.
It's a lot of restaurants.
But yeah, those shows like last night for me are like the reward. Like, this is what you've been paying your dues for.
Yeah.
And this is what you've been training for. And go up there and dance with who brung you, you know?
It was a banger.
Yeah, it was great.
I think close to sold out. I don't know, mm-hmm. whatever.
But it was.
It felt sold out. The people that were there made it feel sold out.
It was an impressive show in that I sat in the very back during your whole set. And just to see that many people, there was a balcony that was crammed full. And like, you felt so far away. Like, that was a big venue. Like, I mean, it's essentially a theater. It's a rock hall, but it was essentially like playing a theater.
I think it was 660 seated.
Yeah.
I think we came a little, I think it was like 620 seated.
Yeah. For perspective, I think when they have bands there, unseated, I think it's like 1,100. So it's the size
unseated.
Size of a legit theater. So I'm sitting in the back, and you felt like you were 100 yards away. Like, I could barely see you. And just having all, in my point of view, having all these people in front of me, and just, and not just the amount of people, but just the vibe in the air.
Yeah, it was like, good energy, man.
It was great energy.
All the shows have been good. Every single show has been good energy.
Yeah. So just to recap real quick, we started in Miami, then we went to, I believe, Miami, Orlando, Tampa, Gainesville, Atlanta, now we're in Huntsville. And then tomorrow, Birmingham, then Pensacola, then Lafayette, Louisiana, then New Orleans.
Yeah.
So it's we're about halfway through.
It's a hell of a run.
But yeah, last night was great, man. It was, and just.
But everybody's been, it's been good. Like, that's all I want. Like, you know, I get in my head about, like, let's just be honest about it. Sometimes my ego gets the best of me.
How so?
I wish that maybe I was playing bigger spots. Mm-hmm. I see people that I feel that are my equal, that are playing much larger venues.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just I'm legitimately being vulnerable, that there's a professional jealousy that exists.
Well, and it's that way at every level.
But I look at that and like that, but why can't I just be happy for them, but also look at what's going on? Like, these shows have been great. Nobody's losing money. It's not a thing. Why, like, to get caught up in that, it happens. It happens at every level of the game. You just get caught up in, like, well, so-and-so's doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so-and-so's doing that. Well, I know I had better shows than that person. Mm-hmm. That attitude, and I'm just trying to be way more humble and zen about shit. Not like pat myself on the back, but like self-preservation style.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's been fucking great.
Yeah.
These shows have been fucking awesome. What the fuck is... full disclosure, I'm liquored up. But Dave, we can talk about this stuff. These shows have been amazing.
Yeah.
What more is supposed to happen? Other than we just rolled into a town. Hey, would you guys, strangers like to convene?
Yeah.
In exchange for a few bucks. And I hope, I not even in a, like a jerk way, in a, like some fake hippie way. I would hope that everybody at the show could like walk out and be like, man, where are you going? Are you going to a bar tonight? To anybody else that was at the show, like, we're going to go to this place. And I would hope they would be friends. Yeah. I really, not in a jag-off kind of way, I would hope that that's the kind of environment.
Well, that is the environment that you've created, like with your style.
But you know what? You've gone to see bands where like everybody leaves the show and like, oh shit, you got this guy right here. Where are you going? Mm-hmm. Can I go there? Yes. Mm-hmm. That's what I would like for it to happen after shows.
Well, and I think that's what you've created, man, because every show, not just. I don't know how to describe this, but like you create an environment like with your act, with your personality, it's
single ticket holders unite.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah. I saw several single ticket holders.
Go just sit next to somebody. Mm-hmm.
I sat next to a single ticket holder tonight during your set. When I was done, I went in and sat in the crowd. There's just a guy sitting right next to me, pounding me up. Just a guy sitting by himself enjoying the hell out of the show.
That I want more individuals to feel okay going to comedy. My show or not any comedy, like feel like just music in it. Like how often do you go to do stuff by yourself? Well, forget pandemic, whatever. Uh-huh. Would you go to like movies by yourself, concerts by yourself?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I've done that a lot.
I would too. I love it.
Yeah.
I enjoy it. I hope more people feel comfortable just doing that in general.
But no, my point is though, like, not to just stroke your ego, but your act,
stroke it, baby.
You know, there's no gimmicks, and there's also not like my phone ringing. There's also like, you know, it's not like, what is that?
It's Reg.
Oh, that's you. Okay, gotcha.
Reg just called me. That old
I
don't. Bag.
I mean, I got some drinks in me too, so I'm not as articulate as I should be. But my point is, it's not like
get articulate.
You know, we're not. Edge lords, we're not like, hey, look at all you fuckers that come out to my show. You know, you're not you create a fun atmosphere, and even the shit you complain about, you're quick to admit your own flaws and show the counterpoint to that. And like tonight when you're talking about vaccines and like, hey, I'm left and I'm liberal, I'm this, blah blah blah. But then part of that bit is also I'm a fucking idiot and I'm a comedian, so don't listen to what I'm saying. So that permeates through the crowd to where the crowd's not being preached at, they're not being condescended to, they're also not being pandered to. So it creates a really fun vibe.
But like I don't think divisiveness is helping things, and that's a real hippie line straddling bullshit. Mm-hmm. Because I want to be with the side that's like, fucking ACAB, all that shit. But like, I don't think that extreme. Somebody explained to me like, we need those people, those extreme attitudes, because they're gonna lure the middle towards that side. Mm-hmm. Not all the way, but lure them that way. But I have such a hard time with any, like, let's talk about pure joke, like jokes that will never be jokes, but like premises. Mm-hmm. I was trying to think about how the idea that the fact that the left, the side that I want to align with is all about like, not like non-binary about gender, but absolutely binary about every other issue. Like gender can exist across a spectrum, but a belief about anything else needs to be all the way one way or the other. You're either a Nazi or you're a fucking socialist. Like, well, what? No. That there's a huge gray area between those sides. Mm-hmm. Like, where you have to be like, oh, fucking, I'm Black Lives Matter, I'm ACAB, I'm all this. Like, all right, well, you've just positioned yourself as an unmovable pillar all the way over here. Like, all cops are bastards. All right, you're a cop. Mm-hmm. I don't think you're a bastard. why is like the idea of gender can be viewed as a spectrum, but not any other issue?
It's a great point.
Why can't any other issue be viewed at as like, well, fuck, I'm pretty much over to this side or that side, mm-hmm. but I do see this as being a movable needle.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's just like when people complain about politicians, you know, oh, 10 years ago they said this or voted this way, and now they're like, yeah, people fucking change. They learn. They get new information, new facts. That, you know, they
I think politicians are just professional wrestlers at
yeah.
this point.
Yeah, I'm not defending politicians. I'm just using that as an example.
But no, I believe, like, it's like, oh, I have to be the villain. I'll be the villain all the way. Like, mm-hmm. I truly think, like, stop looking at it with such seriousness.
Yeah.
Outside of that, you should, because then they can cast votes. But it's all professional wrestling. Mm-hmm. Like, nobody can be in the middle. You have to either be a total heel, you have to be a total villain, or Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in wrestling, you don't want to see somebody who's like, well, I kind of see both sides. Which, in wrestling, it makes sense, but now that, like, now everything's based on entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Politicians are based on what makes entertainment popular.
Mm-hmm.
I have to be a fucking lunatic on this side. I have to be a fucking... whatever the cowardly lion looking bitch is, Marjorie Taylor Greene, like, well, a lot of people died from cancer and we didn't shut the country down. So why we die? Like,
what a stupid fucking statement, by the
because
way.
Because that's not contagious. Yeah, it's like.
Fucking it's, idiot.
Which, are they an idiot or do they realize that they're playing the wrestling game mm-hmm. and Democrats or the left are like, well, you're ridiculous. That's not ridiculous isn't a real thing anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Ridiculous isn't like, oh, you're wrong. Wrong isn't real anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like we are either with this team or with that team.
Mm-hmm.
There's no analysis of like, but they're wrong. Yeah, but they're that's the team we're with.
Yeah.
Like being a troll used to be a shitty thing on Twitter, and now it's a actual force of like, I'm just going to deny you to your face, whether I'm incorrect or not. If I deny you in a strong enough way, people will be on my side. Being right isn't a thing anymore.
Yeah.
But winning is. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Dude. Yeah, me neither. But that's okay.
I got high and mighty. I'm going to drink this Budweiser. Yeah. I ate some of this roasted red pepper.
Hey, it's me, Dave. Let's talk about food. Let's talk about Green Chef. Green Chef makes cooking easy so you can spend less time stressing and more time enjoying delicious home-cooked meals. Green Chef's pre-made and pre-measured sauces, dressings, and spices get you more chef-curated flavor in less time. Avoid long lines at the grocery store. Green Chef is so convenient with pre-portioned, easy-to-follow recipes that are delivered right to your door. I've been using them for probably over a year now, and boy howdy, this is good stuff. I'm on the keto plan. This week we got steak and shrimp with spicy peppercorn sauce, chicken with mango salsa, beef fajita taco salad. That's just the beginning. There's so much good stuff at Green Chef. Go to greenchef.com/boogie10. Use code boogie10 to get, you guessed it, 10 free meals, including free shipping. Are you kidding me? greenchef.com/boogie10. You're going to get 10 free meals plus free shipping. Oh, boy. Green Chef, the number one meal kit for eating well. Look, we're all adults here, right? Well, most of us, I assume. Some of us choose to use nicotine to relax, focus, or just unwind after a long day. Lucy Nicotine is a company that was created to help nicotine users find a definitive option and feel better about the ways they consume nicotine. Their latest product is Lucy Nicotine Capsule Pouches, which contain a breakable flavor ball, there you go, inside a pure synthetic nicotine that provides the same satisfaction that nicotine users expect without any tobacco at all. Lucy Nicotine Capsule Pouches include coconut oil to provide a soft, fluffy texture that enhances the flavor and doesn't dry out your mouth. They come in two strengths, 4 and 8 milligrams, and 3 exclusive and delicious flavors, spearmint, mango, and cool cider. I'm not a smoker, but I'm almost tempted to start smoking just so I can quit with Lucy Nicotine. It's 2021. Don't compromise when choosing your nicotine products. Go with the newest tobacco-free options from Lucy. Boogie Monster listeners, go to lucy.co, not com, lucy.co. Use promo code Boogie to get 20% off your order of Lucy nicotine capsule pouches or any other Lucy products. That's lucy.co. Use promo code Boogie at checkout. Also, I have to give you this disclaimer. Warning, this product contains non-tobacco nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Lucy.co. Be sure to use that promo code Boogie. What's up, boogers? Any of you folks out there driving trucks, you probably know how convenient a nice truck can be, but also how risky it can be to leave your gear, your tools, your what have you, in the bed of the truck. Not just for security issues, but also out in the elements. I used to have several trucks. I used to own a landscaping company. We've talked about that. More than one occasion, I've had some tools stolen. Pissed me off, something awful. Would not have happened had I had the decked drawer system. You know about the decked drawer system? It's weatherproof. It keeps your stuff safe from the rain, the ice, the snow, thieves, whatever. Decked makes organizing and accessing everything you need so much easier. Each of Decked's two full bed-length drawers can carry up to 200 pounds of whatever you got. The drawers roll out waist-high, giving you easy access to your organized tools and gear. The decked drawer system keeps your gear secure. If your tailgate is locked, you can't open the drawers and you can't remove the system. It's that easy. Even the drawers have locks for added security and peace of mind. Decked is 100% made in the USA and backed by a lifetime, no-hassle warranty with a second-to-none customer service team ready to answer any and all your questions. Here's what we do. Protect your stuff with Decked. Get your Decked drawer system at decked.com/boogie. That's D-E-C-K-E-D, decked.com/boogie. You're going to get free shipping. How about that? That's decked.com/boogie for free shipping on your Decked drawer system, decked.com/boogie. How do you feel, buddy? How do you feel about the shows and your set and...
Man, I'm barefoot in your hotel room.
Yeah.
I feel top-notch, dog.
It's been fun, man. I'll be honest, those first few shows, you know, I definitely had some rust. You know, I had my run about a month ago, but I hadn't before this run, I hadn't been on stage in like 3 weeks, you know, the wedding and all that. So, you know, those first few shows, like, I'm excited and I'm happy to be out here with you, but it's like, oh, man, what am I fucking doing? It just feels like you're up there and you're...
Yeah, but you have the best place in comedy, which is featuring.
Yeah, that middle spot is fun.
It's the best time.
There's no pressure, you know. Like, I'm sure...
Like, you can go up there and say 25 minutes of absolute fucking lunacy. You know that. You know that.
Well, no. You can't do it. Like... Well, I wouldn't
but
do
But you could.
Because I never want to tank it for, you know, I never want to dig a hole for
not,
the headliner.
Not tanking it, but do you want to just go wild one night? You can do, as a feature, you can do that.
Yeah. My problem is I get in my head, even though I'm the feature on this run, people still paid a lot of money to come out and to see you, and some of them, you know, might know me as well. But my point is I can't treat, or you say I can, but in my mind, I can't treat this like an open mic. I can't just go up there brand new shit, half-baked.
Yeah, but guess what people would like to see more? Is a fucking human being going like, man, I got married. Here's the shit that happened 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Versus, here's bits.
Yeah, here's my act.
Regardless how good the bits are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what I'm working on is trying to find that middle ground where, like, you know, there's... You know, maybe I'm bringing new premises and new stuff each night, but there's still some stuff that's kind of polished. But, yeah, I'm in my head about, like, because I've got a bunch of new shit that I'm still, I don't know if afraid is the right word.
No, this is the time you're supposed to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then go fucking bomb. Yeah. Don't worry about it. Yeah. Who gives a shit? Go fucking go nuts on it.
Yeah. But it's fun. I enjoy this perspective, you know, as, you know, I headline on my own, you know, not playing rooms like we're playing now, but.
So, yeah, but you headline, people paid money to be there.
Yeah.
And you got to finagle a full headline set. This week is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know you already have, like, cred with them.
Yeah. And you're right. Even if I do bomb, I know they're about to get their money's worth with you.
It's not even about that. You won't bomb.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's the, you realize you're at the point where you won't. People know you, so you don't bomb. Mm-hmm. You just, people saw you figuring out the next version of whatever,
yeah,
whatever your act's going to be.
Yeah. Well, I think that's why
you don't bomb. There's no bombing it. You realize you're at the level where you don't bomb anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't do well because people watch you figure out new shit. But people already know that you're a comedian.
Mm-hmm.
Bombing is when people don't know you're a comedian. Like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, who let this guy up here?
Now you're at the point of like, oh, no, we know you're a comedian. We already know your stuff. Oh, you tried new things and you addressed it on stage. Like, yeah, this is how this goes.
Yeah.
You don't bomb anymore.
Yeah.
That's not a thing that's in the capacity of what you're doing.
Yeah. But I think I get in my head with it. Like, I would almost prefer that they, like, when I am working out new stuff or half-baked ideas, I would almost prefer that they don't know who I am, so they don't have a point of reference.
Well, that's not what's happening on this run.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But, yeah, can I get sappy for a second?
Get fucking whatever.
Buddy, like, I know this is so sappy, but, dude, you truly inspire me to work harder and to be better, because someone asked me, what's it like touring with Kyle, and this analogy might fall on deaf ears with you because you're not a sports fan. Not stroking your ego. I'm just being honest. It's like playing
compare
with
me to sports, baby.
It's like playing with LeBron, man. It's like
I'm LeBron.
You're LeBron, buddy.
I'm LeBron Williamson. Who's that?
What show was it? In Tampa. Second show Tampa, which you thought, whatever. You know, you're always too fucking
it went
humble.
Well enough,
but man, I got high as shit. Shout out to my buddy Mike at where were we at? Crowbar,
Tampa, one of my favorite spots.
Smoked it up with Mike after my second set, and went back out and watched your set. And man, just I can't even describe it, but you created this, you set this tone, and you created this atmosphere, and people were just with you from the get go, and just, I don't know, man. It's really inspiring. Like, oh shit, that's what all come. I'm not just saying you're the standard that we should all
the
be shooting for.
The fucking Boogie Monsters on tour, Dave. You realize this is part of it.
Yeah.
You realize you're part of this tour.
Yeah.
You realize it's like, oh fucking Dave's. Oh shit, Dave's here too. You realize you're in the same pocket, man.
Yeah. I forget sometimes.
Stop.
But,
like.
But no, it's impressive. And the thing is too, like knowing how you are with your act and how serious you take it. Like, you're up there doing essentially new shit too, you know, new since, you know, a year ago or 6 months ago.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
Some of this stuff's a week
processing
or two old.
Processing life's events.
You know, but it's inspiring to just see, all right, this is how you fucking hold court for an hour. And I, like I said, I'm a headliner. I know how to headline. I've crushed for an hour. But to just like, all right, like remove all the veneers. This is just, these are my stupid fucking thoughts, but like, you have that knack of like, and that's part of what comedy is that illusion that it's all off the top of my head, but like, it's the delivery feels like it's all off the top of your head, but the end product is like, man, that's some fucking well thought out, polished shit.
I got lucky enough, the people that are coming out know what they're getting. So the people that are coming, it's like, all right, let's hang out. Let's get into these. It's not going to be set up punchline shit.
Yeah.
I mean, a couple will get you, mm-hmm. but that's not what it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's just seniority.
Yeah. And we're reps.
We're doing a lot. Like the people that come out are buying tickets,
mm-hmm.
not just to see a comedy show, but it's because I'm doing that show.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's, but that's also the danger.
Mm-hmm.
Is that I can just play to that audience and not develop further.
Yeah. We've talked about that in the past. One of my goals when I started was to eventually do shows where people come to see me and they know who I am, because the first several years you're just anonymous. Nobody knows. Nobody cares.
Yeah.
But you corrected me, and like sometimes that's dangerous.
You still have to challenge those people. You have to still surprise them. We all have favorite bands, but then you buy a new album that just sounds exactly like the old shit. Like, I guess I don't really have to keep buying their albums if they're just playing to the wheelhouse.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's scary as a quote unquote artist, is to be like, well, I like also for yourself, do you want to do other stuff?
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Do you want to challenge yourself to be like, well, I actually, here's a thought that I've had that will completely go against what my fan base thinks I am. As a comedian, can I make this funny to be like, yeah, I'm not as hyper left as you want me to be.
Mm-hmm.
So politically I'll lose people, but guess what? Politically, that's not comedy.
Yeah, that's not your job.
If you were with me politically, then I'm sorry, and thanks for riding along for as long as you did, but I'm processing my human experience every day and trying to make it relatable to strangers.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? My experience every day does not always line up with people I got on board with me politically.
Mm-hmm.
If you're with me politically, I will let you down. Mm-hmm. I'm going to disappoint you. Or maybe I'll surprise you. I don't know. But I'm just, it's a weird part of it. Like, you're just processing your existence for other people's enjoyment.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that that's the truest part of comedy. It's like,
it's a great way to put it.
I'm like, every day I'm changing my mind. Now I can sit and write and know who my audience, and I can know who's paying for tickets,
mm-hmm.
and write jokes for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then secretly live however I want to live. Or I can be like, yeah, guess what? I lived, I grew. I made some money.
Mm-hmm.
It's the weirdest part. You make some money, and now all of a sudden, now you're the fucking devil because you made some money.
Yeah, sorry.
But it changes your view on things. Like, well, I made this. Now I think I made this much, but I actually made less because of taxes and this and that. And you, well, that's not going to translate well to these fucking, the crust punks that followed me up from the top. But do you want me to tell you that I'm still eating dry ramen noodles?
Yeah, exactly.
In the back of somebody's fucking Sonata?
I'm sorry, I don't have
to
ride the
bus. That's not true. That's not the truth.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and we've talked about this before. Like, I think I speak for you as well. We don't want to be those type of comics that are, you know, message or political, you know, stance first and humor second. There's plenty of those out there. We're like, oh, I'm not that funny, but here's my message. Here's my politics. Like, this is a comedy show, right?
Larry the Cable Guy is actually much more left-wing if you think about it, like a blue-collar dude talking about how rough life is to stadiums.
Yeah.
If you truly believe that character, that is a guy that's just a fucking guy who can't make his union dues sleeveless, but he's in a stadium. Like, that's far more of a fake left-wing comic than the actual fake left-wing comic. Like, we need to fight the man.
Yeah.
And then, like, you make all your money off of show business, off of fake sincerity.
Yeah.
Like, just admit that you're fucking rich.
Yeah.
Like, admit that you're rich and that you, like, are going to go on Twitter and tell people you have to vote.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the meantime, you're like, well, but also, I mean, vote for this person.
Yeah.
You don't mean vote in general. That was one of the first turnoffs of all showbiz shit, is everybody like, just vote. Just say who you want me to vote for.
Yeah.
Stop acting like the idea of voting is what.
I always hated that.
Want me to vote for whichever candidate. You're not saying vote no matter what. You're saying vote because I know who I'm addressing right now is for this candidate. And that was one of the first experiences of like, oh, man, this scene is garbage, too.
Yeah. This,
the Hollywood left that I am a part of is just as gross. Because you're spending your money to get commercials on TV. It's like, whatever happens, just vote. I think I'm going to vote for the fucking right-wing candidate. No, that's not what you meant. You meant vote for who you think I want. I want you to make you happy.
Yeah. Yeah, I always hated that message. Oh, it doesn't matter who you vote for. Just vote.
Man, I'm drunk saying a lot of shit right now, dude.
It's all right, buddy.
As we look over this luxurious parking lot from the Westin in Huntsville, Alabama.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's been fun so far. So you broke edge last night with Albert.
Broke edge on them wings, God. Dog.
I mean.
I screamed in your hotel.
We've talked about that a lot, but if you're anywhere near Atlanta, you must stop by the Albert and get some smoked wings. It's one of the greatest dishes in America. Like this a smoked chicken wing done properly. Oh my God. It's insane.
All right, let's
we've had Waffle House.
We did Waffle House, IHOP, Bojangles.
Bojangles, we had Bojangles yesterday. That was exciting.
What do you need to have tomorrow when we leave?
When we leave?
Just be honest, Dave. Just be honest.
No, I don't necessarily have to have anything. I got two more boxes to check in the food game.
What's that now? Within boxes.
All right, so tomorrow we're in Birmingham.
Uh-huh.
The next morning, before we leave Birmingham.
Big Bad Breakfast.
Before we leave Birmingham, I'd love to have Big Bad Breakfast. And then when we're in Lafayette, on our way to New Orleans, we're going to be driving right through Baton Rouge. And I've gone on record, and I mean this, no hype. Maybe, all right, I'm not going to say the best. My favorite restaurant in the country.
Really?
I can honestly say.
Word up.
My favorite restaurant in the country, Blue's Cajun Cooking, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And we're going to go have lunch there.
That, regardless of genre.
Yeah. It's my favorite.
Okay.
That's the one I would drive the furthest for, spend the most money on. Like,
am I going to break edge at this restaurant?
You don't have to. They got a lot of good fish.
I had wings last night, dude.
They got a lot of good. If you want to break edge, you can do it there, too. Yeah, the smoked boudin. Smoked boudin there is insane. But they also have plenty. They got crawfish etouffee. They got red snapper. They got catfish. They got incredible sides. They do mustard greens. They do lima beans. They do red beans and rice. It's insane how good this place is. It's going to blow your fucking mind. I'm so excited.
Best restaurant. Dave, listeners.
It's my favorite.
Listeners.
I've never had a better meal.
Dave Stone is telling me this is the best restaurant.
And it's.
You've never had a better meal anywhere in the world?
I mean, I've had a bunch of great meals. I'm saying. I mean, it's impossible for me to just off the top of my head rank them. But I can't think of a restaurant that I would rather go to. If I mean, this is like death row meal shit.
Can I also address, I don't know if this has a relation.
Mm-hmm.
We got back to the hotel. Mm-hmm. We're in show clothes.
Yeah.
You changed into different shoes in your own hotel room.
Well, because I had to go back down, you know.
Oh, okay. All right. I thought you got back to your room and put on different. I am barefoot.
Yeah, no. I was going to go barefoot, but I had to go down and get a Pepsi.
Okay.
I didn't want to walk barefoot through the
West. I just want to illustrate to the listeners that, like, Dave put on different shoes when he got back to his hotel.
Well, these are my
shorts. I forgot that you did have to go back down. I am incorrect right now.
Yeah. And I would feel goofy wearing my mustard yellow Jordans.
Right now, Dave Stone has two different pairs of Jordans.
Uh-huh.
Against the wall. You got a mustard yellow and black and a blue and white, and now you're wearing a black and white.
Yeah, these are my Air Maxes. So yeah, I got two pair of Jordans and some Air Maxes. Listen,
you don't realize that there are sneakerheads out there,
mm-hmm.
and that we don't think mm-hmm. that we're the type of crew that would appeal to that, but mm-hmm. they're out there. Listen, you should let people know that you are traveling with four pairs of sweet fucking kicks.
Yeah,
and I'm not being sarcastic.
Like
Dave.
Diana Ross,
you are exactly like Diana Ross. Uh-huh. You made jokes about how you don't think you're fresh or not. Uh-huh. The first few dates, you had sweet Hawaiian shirts. You had corresponding Nike Air Jordans.
I'm putting forth an effort, finally.
Dude, it's working. You are looking fucking crisp out there. You're looking crisp as shit.
Normally, I would not travel with four pair of shoes, but I was like, I got these new shirts. I'm trying out these new outfits.
You can change your shit. You can just decide to like be at any age.
Uh-huh.
You can decide to reinvent yourself.
Yeah.
That's anybody listening. Do not be afraid to reinvent who you are.
Yeah.
Dave, I know you as fucking straight up, like, as you've described yourself in your act. I don't want to ruin the bit, but you know how you describe yourself.
Oh, that, yeah. Okay, that joke, yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. How I look right now.
Yeah, camo shorts and a black t-shirt. You look like private security for a YouTube star. That's how you look like normally. Uh-huh. But you've been rolling up with fresh pants, a fun shirt, and corresponding Jordans. But I've only known you as the guy previous to that. And it's a great, because you still look good doing that, man.
Well, thank you, buddy.
It doesn't look clumsy. Uh-huh. You don't look awkward in it. And it's inspirational to be like, anybody can just decide to, like, you know what? I just want to fucking change up my look.
Yeah, man.
Not about, like, spending money to, like, show people. What if just at some point in your life, nothing, you can't, it's hard to change up a job.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard. A career change is difficult. A spousal change is difficult. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you don't want to change any of those things, but you're feeling a little stagnant in one way. You can just decide to change up your look.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if your look is like, oh, I go to work and I dress like this.
Mm-hmm.
But then on the weekend, me and the significant other might want to step out. You know what? Hey, I want to do a new thing. I want a new outfit and a new restaurant. And that's... I'm in the same way because Rachel like bought me all similar Air Force Ones, and it made me like, what if I just start kicking in this look? It's such an inspirational thing, Dave.
Well, thank you, buddy.
Yeah, I didn't think of you as like a fun shirt and
yeah,
Air Force One type dude.
Well, I've said before, like, you know, as a big guy, you know. I mean, I've lost a few pounds. I've still got a long way to go. I'm still a big guy, but when I was at my biggest, when you're that big, you're not thinking style. You're thinking comfort and concealment. What's going to conceal my girth, and what am I going to be comfortable in? And for me, it was just like I was just fucking wearing a black t-shirt and cargo shorts.
But shout out to whoever did like. Fashion designers like there's big fellas out there.
Yeah, yeah. Shout out to the big guys.
You got to wear a lot of clothing. Mm-hmm. Let's make that clothing look good.
My buddies. Shout out to my buddy Paul Galois, who came to my wedding looking fresh.
Crush that scene.
We were joking. We were kind of joking, and then it kind of
crushed that scene.
We're thinking about doing a big guy streetwear company called Big Guy Fresh, BGF, Big Guy Fresh. And just he's going with like the mafia Don on vacation vibe.
Take out Big Guy Fresh. Just call it Fresh Large.
Fresh Large.
Just call it the largest.
But yeah, shout out to big fellas that wanna get a little fresh. You know, you don't have to just wear a fucking schmock or a tarp. You know, get in there, have some fun.
Just call it a schmock.
Yeah, schmock's like what? That's like what a.
It's like a smock, but with an extra H thrown into it.
Schmock. Oh, yeah.
It's so big we had to throw another H in there. Yeah. For
I don't know. Schmuck.
He looks full Miami Mafia.
Yeah.
I feel like you're not wrong in thinking that large folk absolutely deserve their own fashion.
Yeah.
But you've been wearing it well, dude.
Thank you. Thank you, buddy.
And also, I've always questioned the idea of dressing... Like, you nailed it in the sense that you don't want to dress, like, too fun because you're already a comedian. You don't want to, like, dip into clown world.
Yeah.
Like, look at this goofy dude. But you had tasteful patterned shirts where they're still like, oh, Dave, like normally you look like this guy will cut my throat if I try to talk to this TikTok teenager. And so... They were patterned shirts, but they weren't like blowing out like, this guy is the most party animal ever. It's like, no, it's the evening. I have a fucking patterned shirt on. I have solid pants and some Jordans on. It was a tight look. And I was happy that you were like you're changing it up. And whether it's Katie being in your life or you deciding to change things, like, yeah, what's the fear? Like, we've already gotten dumb tattoos, and we've already realized, like, all right, well, that's part of my body.
Yeah.
Now we're doing the thing that our parents told us when we were 18, like, I'm going to get a tattoo. Why don't you just wear a fun shirt? no way, Mom. You don't know what fucking the world's like. And now we're like, I really need to get into fun shirts because yeah. I can't have a fresh tattoo
yeah.
in my 40s.
I'm about to get a new one.
I look like a fucking jerk.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I already got one going. I'm not going to reveal it yet. But
really?
Oh, yeah, I got a good idea for one.
What, you want to talk about it right now?
I mean, all right, I'll talk about it. Yeah, nah, I'll see.
You want to get tattoos on this trip?
Maybe. No, I got an idea for a good one.
Yeah. That's what you hear everybody say before they get the dumbest tattoo. Yeah.
No, this is not dumb. It's going to be silly and funny, but also sentimental and personal.
It's going to suck.
No, it's going to be great. Yeah, I'll tell you later. It's going to be good.
I'll get fucking Pikachu, but with cool sunglasses on.
Speaking of wardrobe.
Pikachu without Hitler mustache. I don't give a shit.
I'm so jealous of what you got going on, buddy.
Fucking jumpsuit, dog.
I like how you're taking, like, you know, the easy, the low-hanging fruit is, you know, you look like you're in Slipknot. You know,
yeah.
But like, I like that you have a comedy uniform.
Apprentice Elvis, man.
I like it, man.
It's just Apprentice Elvis.
I really like it. And I can't, I'm not going to do that now because it would be obvious that I'm biting your shit. But like, good job, buddy. I like, talk about making it work. Works great for you. Works great. You love it.
I was weird about it the first few times, and now that I put it on, I'm like, yeah, this is my show. Like, now I'm in show mode.
What's that? But I also, I mean, obviously it's got like a blue collar aesthetic, but I like that it's like, all right, it's fucking time to go to work, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Put on the fucking jumpsuit. Here's some motherfucking jokes.
I felt fake about it for a while.
No, there's nothing about it.
And now it's like, no, I've been wearing this shit for months.
I like it, buddy.
This is my gear.
I think you should get a couple. I think you should like get.
I want to get an embroidered one. I want to get a cat skull on the back. I want to say like dirt nap maintenance on it.
Yeah, that would look rad.
In tribute, you know,
maybe like
to the almighty dirt nap.
The one you got now, is it black or is it navy?
Blue.
It's navy blue?
Navy blue.
That standard Dickie navy
blue? I think Almighty Dirt Nap is what it'll say on the back.
Man, maybe like a hunter green, like a dark green. I always loved, like you're driving a 7-Up truck, you know?
I mean, there's something about reaching just a little too far on it.
Yeah.
Like, this is the one that the store had,
uh-huh.
So give me this one.
Yeah.
And I did buy them originally so we could just pet the cat. Without fucking up our clothes because Rachel's allergic.
Does Rachel have one?
Yeah, I bought her one too.
Wow.
But the whole thing, these were purchased early on in the incarnation of Lil D.
Yeah.
Now, the fucking cat owns the house. Like the overalls don't matter. Every couch has the grandmother plastic over it. The litter box is in the fireplace. The fucking cat runs the house. We close the bedroom doors. But the rest of the house, that cat just had Rachel just pops Benadryl and is like, "This is my best friend ever." So the jumpsuits mean nothing in the household anymore. The initial idea was that they would like we would put them on and we would sit out in the yard and court this animal,
uh-huh.
And with the hopes that maybe we could even pet it.
Yeah.
Now that cat won't leave us the fuck alone.
Oh.
Now it's inside and it screams at us in the middle of the night and we have nothing going on. So we get up, we have to put it down on the couch. We have to make sure it sleeps well.
What does it want when it's screaming in the middle
nothing,
of the night?
Nothing, just to be like, what's up? What's up, bitches? It's a straight up, it wants nothing. It's a straight up, it's the saddest, most mimicking of a dying baby sound of, and then you get up and it's like, yeah, fuckers, what's going down? Let's get up on this couch and hang out. That's all it wants. And honestly, it's got us because it's like, oh, this cat's been on the street for 15 years and now we got it. Let's see if it wants to be inside a little bit. Now it's like, I'm inside, motherfuckers. Who's kicking it? And so it just screams in the hallway, and we get up, and we have to, like, pet it and make sure it lays on the couch long enough.
I'm so glad you finally have a pet.
Man.
Because I've known you for over a decade, And I've never known you to have a pet, but you've always wanted one. I remember, I love them critters.
Yeah, and Rachel.
You fostered that Chihuahua that time.
Yeah, and Rachel's allergic as shit, but now this is just circumstantial, man. This thing just kind of lived in the yard, and like, and her brother who lived in the house for 7 or 8 years before, like, yeah, we'd see it out there. It would just kind of be around. We'd occasionally put a can of tuna out for it.
Uh-huh.
But that cat was just around. I mean, I've told the story on the show about how the neighbors brought it into that area.
That's awesome.
And now this thing's 16 years old, and it's like now it has a house to live in. and it's appreciative to the point of disrespectful about it. Because it's a cat. It's like, you want to let me in here? I'm going to scream at you all day. And we're like, please do. Please do.
That's great, buddy.
Yeah, man. I don't know.
Well, hell yeah, man. Anything else on your mind?
I mean, I'm eating those roasted red pepper hummus.
Yeah? How is it?
You can have some.
Yeah.
It's sat in the car since yesterday.
We also got some bananas that are been percolating in there.
I'll eat an old banana. I don't give a fuck. I'll eat an old banana.
Starting to smell. Our rental car smelling like banana bread.
Yeah, that's what Shonik said. We got in. You got banana bread in here? No, but we got bananas that we've been carrying around for a week.
Oh, man. It's been a good run so far. We're about halfway through. Going to eat a couple more good meals. Going to have some good shows. Any tickets available? You want to plug anything, or is everything sold out?
It's coming out Tuesday now.
Yeah.
I don't know where we're at.
So tonight we'll be in Pensacola on Tuesday. Then Wednesday.
You don't do air quotes. People know we pre-record.
Well, I know. I'm just saying.
People know it's Sunday night.
You know. But yeah, Tuesday we'll be in
Pensacola.
Pensacola.
Don't give away the fact that we recorded this earlier. Guys, I don't know if you didn't know this. Show's not live.
Wednesday we'll be in Lafayette. May have to stop by. Oh boy, that's the they're close to Scott, Louisiana is known as the I think it's Scott, known as the Boudin capital of the world. May have to stop somewhere and get some Boudin.
Boudin,
and then
Boudin sausage.
We wrap it up. Yeah, it's like gnarly. It's like crust punk sausage, as if sausage isn't gnarly enough.
Oh, it's
got liver and rice and spices.
Stolen dogs and bandanas and acoustic versions of songs that piss you off.
And then we wrap it up in New Orleans. So that's going to be fun. I was thinking maybe I found a place, no pressure, but I found a late night New Orleans spot that maybe we go after the New Orleans show, go have some, maybe some red snapper, some crawfish.
All right.
Some whatever, man.
Is there other colors of snapper?
I don't know.
Why don't we just call it snapper?
I don't have that answer. Fellas, you got to keep it tight and right. You got to stay groomed. You got to keep everything sharp and looking good, especially below the belt. That's why you got to get on some Manscaped. Recently, Manscaped sent me a huge care package, no pun intended, of their best-selling product, the Performance Package 4.0. It's going to be at the top of your wish list, whether you know it or not. This stuff is great. You got to have this stuff, all right? You got to take care of all the group. There's only so many ways I can dance around this or beat around the bush. There we go. Look out. their lawnmower body trimmer. All right, you know the thing. All right, here, Manscaped. It's a trimmer for all your areas, right? But as you probably know, you can't just use any trimmer for those delicate bits because you're gonna nick yourself, you're gonna bleed, you're gonna have to get out the Band-Aids. I don't understand the technology. All I know is that it works. You couldn't nick your balls even if you tried with this stuff. They got some high tech stuff that prevents any slippage, nickage, anything, whatever you want to call it. It's safe. It's easy on your junk. Get up on it. Lawnmower body trimmer. This thing is amazing. It's good for whatever you want to trim and keep groomed down there. Also, their weed whacker. It's the ear and nose hair trimmer. That's a must. And let's not forget their famous liquid formulations, the crop preserver, ball deodorant, and crop reviver, ball toner, to maximize your ball hygiene routine. You may not even have a ball hygiene routine, but you need to get one. Get the Performance Package now to receive their two free gifts, the Manscaped Boxers and the Shed Travel Bag. All this stuff is great. Dads can't stop talking about this either. Teens secretly buy this stuff as well. It doesn't stop there. Whatever you need in the male grooming department, they got you covered. The Manscaped Cologne Infused Body Wash, Shears 2.0 Luxury Four-Piece Nail Kit, crop mops, ball wipes for your stinky balls, Manscaped signature cologne, whatever you need, Manscaped has got you covered. Whether this is for you or your partner, whomever, get them something that they're really going to need and actually enjoy using this holiday season. Right now, Boogie Monster listeners can get 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com with code Boogie. Be the ballsiest gift giver this year with Manscaped. One more time, manscaped.com. Code Boogie. Hey, look, just because Halloween is come and gone doesn't mean you can't still enjoy the spooky stuff. You gotta get on Shudder. Shudder is the best streaming service for horror, thriller, and supernatural films and series. So, of course, they're closing out the year big with a stocking full of holiday horrors from favorites like Black Christmas and Better Watch Out to new exclusives like the Advent Calendar. December also brings new sci-fi monster movie Death Valley, a new Last Drive-In special, Joe Bob Ruins Christmas, along with new episodes of the Boulle Brothers' Dragula and the new season finale of the docuseries Behind the Monsters, unpacking the surprising origins of Hellraiser's infamous Pinhead. You can stream great thrillers, horror, suspense, whatever, $5.99 a month or just $56.99 a year. Shudder has the largest, fastest-growing, curated selection of thrilling and dangerous entertainment. It's basically the Netflix of horror. You'll have unlimited access to stream ad-free on all your favorite devices. Shudder has a unique collection of exclusive and original films and series, horror classics, and blockbuster hits. They hooked me up with a promo code. I've been enjoying Shudder for months now. Just basically all the classics, all the new stuff, whatever is going down in that genre of horror, suspense, paranormal, thriller stuff, you're gonna find it on Shudder. Like I said, it's the Netflix of horror. So I don't know why, if you're into this stuff, I don't know why you're not already on this, okay? To try Shudder free for 30 days, go to Shudder.com. That's S-H-U-D-D-E-R. Shudder.com. Use promo code Boogie, and you're going to get 30 days absolutely free. How about that? Watch some scary stuff this holiday season. Shudder, S-H-U-D-D-E-R. Shudder.com. Promo code Boogie. Let me change gears real quick.
Fucking okay.
And I'm not going to spend too much time on this.
You getting divorced?
No. There is legal action. I got served with a cease and desist order.
First time Dave's ever been served something he doesn't want to have.
Yeah. So
I acknowledge that as being a great joke.
As a great joke. That was a good joke. I got served by a cease and desist order from Casa de Monte Vista, my wedding venue, because I posted one negative review. I won't rehash the dipshittery involved in our wedding, but is it libel or slander if I call him a litigious fuckface? Is that okay?
Well, can I do that? Okay. Let
me set...
All right. First off, folks listening, mm-hmm. as much as I'm not speaking for you, Dave, but I'll speak for myself. Here's some of the difficulties of being maybe a personality online or mm-hmm. in podcast. That if you express distaste or some sort of unfairness with a party, that people will just support you blindly and go ahead and like review bomb or this or that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm speaking for myself. Thank you for supporting.
Yeah.
But also, don't jump in as a third party without knowing, with not having been there.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's for us.
Yeah. I appreciate the gesture. I appreciate the support.
But at no point, and I'm now legally speaking, at no point did you say, hey, everybody, you should go in there and like, review bomb this place.
Absolutely. I'd never said that on any of the podcasts. No. I never said that any social media.
And that's what's weird about being a personality in the public. Like, I don't like this. And everybody else is like, well, he doesn't like it. So we should go and shit. It is appreciated and it seems like support, but actually it's does more harm than good.
Yeah.
In an actual situation where two individuals are in dispute,
mm-hmm.
and then people are blindly, never blindly follow a leader, even if it's us or someone. It's just a bad scene.
Yeah.
And that is kind of what got you in trouble here.
Yeah, I guess so. I posted one review on Yelp, mm-hmm. and it was literally just a list of no's. Like, it was poorly written. It was
you
just,
also posted a review as the person who patronized the business, yeah. and was there.
Yeah, yeah. And received, and it was 100% true. You know this, know that, know that, know that. Just a list of the things we couldn't do, and I expressed my displeasure. Zero stars. Mm. You have to technically give them one, but in the review. But anyway, my point is, I guess maybe some of our listeners posted some reviews somewhere,
yeah.
but I got a cease and desist notice talking about these social media reviews and Google reviews and Yelp reviews, and I posted the one. I told the guys, like, I instructed and encouraged no one to post any reviews. I guess some people did.
Yeah.
So I'm also not saying take them down. I mean, because I, you know.
No, you heard from somebody else that this place sucked.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So anyway, just to give an update, this am I okay to say that? Is that this motherfucker?
If you call somebody a litigious motherfucker and then they sue you, mm-hmm. all that they did was prove that your statement was yeah. correct.
Yeah, and amongst other things.
You just called somebody, this yeah. guy likes to sue people, and yeah. he's a jerk. Yeah. And then if he sues you and he's a jerk, you yeah. just got proven correct.
So this guy's he's threatened to sue me if I don't take down all these reviews. And I was like, hey, man, I posted one fucking review, and I also included the link to it so he could see it. And I said, tell me what part of this review is untrue. Mm-hmm. All this is fucking true. Yeah. And I even included a part about him being homophobic, which is also true. We have fucking video of the fucking owner of the venue, unsolicited, going up to one of our gay guests and saying, hey, gay pride's that way. So that's why I included the homophobic remark in the review. Everything else is...
And he wasn't pointing to a part of the actual venue.
Nope, that was like, no, oh, he yeah. just... And unsolicited, too. This the guy he said that to... is Katie's best friend, sweet fella, Lou. We both love him. Great dude. Mild-mannered, very soft-spoken, didn't say or do anything, just standing there, hey, gay pride's that way. So I included that in the review. Everything else is factual. You can't know this, know that. No live music, no loud music, no pets, no garbage cans, no coolers, no parking. I was like, what part of this fucking review is untrue? But, yeah, he's threatening to sue me if I don't take down these multiple reviews. And I was like,
You're not at fault for any of
yeah,
those.
I did go back and I'd even mention the podcast, you know. And if he goes back and listens to these podcasts, I didn't say anything that was untrue. I was colorful in my language
but
and
you
heated.
You didn't call for people.
No.
Too bad, Muslim.
Yeah. Show me where I instructed or encouraged anyone to review bomb this prick. So anyway, just an update. That's what's going on.
I think this guy loves the idea of the law mm-hmm. without having knowledge of the law.
Yeah.
But also this information is because it's coming from you with your dealings with him.
Yeah.
But I don't see how you can sue anybody. But like, hey, I had a shit experience here, and I shared this publicly. I never told anybody to take any action otherwise.
Nope.
These people are all individual. These are individuals that decided to act on their own behest.
So it's not enough that this dude, you know, with his pettiness and what have you, I'm not going to say ruined my wedding, but, you know, and I addressed that in previous episodes. Like, I didn't want to be too negative about it because, you know, ultimately I got to marry my dream gal and all my pals were there and it was great. But, you know, if I wanted to get petty, there was a laundry list of fucking details that definitely dampened the mood.
And also, I wasn't there because I faked my appendectomy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
By the way, I faked it.
Yeah.
I could have gotten this surgery done
yeah.
months before,
yeah.
but I faked
yeah.
it.
Great take, whoever said that.
But
But so yeah, a month later, I'm still, I have a bad taste in my mouth about my own fucking wedding, thanks to this fucking prick. Now I don't know if that's libel or slander, but based on his actions, it's pretty obvious he's a fucking prick.
I have no legal expertise, but I think if you're like, well, here's my experience there. I couldn't play music. Mm-hmm. I couldn't have dancing because I couldn't play music. Mm-hmm. They didn't provide. If you just state factually what happened, just like, here's what happened when I decided to have a wedding in this place. Because I looked at it too, and like anybody that had a complaint, there was like when they respond publicly, like, well, you should contact us because this isn't what happened. Like, I only looked at the reviews, like, where somebody had a negative complaint, and then somebody else, like, the owner of the property would respond. Mm-hmm. It sounds like fuck this guy.
Yeah.
And if what you're saying is fact, fuck this guy on a very real basis of like, I was here to have a wedding.
Yeah.
These are things I expect from what people dance at weddings. Mm-hmm. I think you should ask people that had good weddings there and be like, well, what happened in your situation? Mm-hmm. You know, reach out to them on Yelp and be like, well, you reviewed this place well. How did you guys have dancing?
Yeah.
Or did you, like, what did your wedding include? Because this is what my wedding was supposed to include, and it got shut down every level. Did you get to have this?
Yeah. And to be clear. Because
then you can compare, like, wait a minute, why did this party get to have dancing?
Mm-hmm. Well, and to be clear, in case he's listening, we were allowed to have, we were not allowed to have live music. There's no live bands, but we were allowed to have music. He just, he said it at a level to where it was just pointless. It was just unenjoyable. Like,
that's what I mean. You should ask, like, anybody that had a great review of having a wedding, they're like, did you dance? Did you get to have dancing?
Yeah. And we had music playing, but you could barely fucking hear it. You know, but it's also a fact that there's no parking. You know, argue with this fucker about trash cans. Argued with just a laundry list of like discrepancies. And for example, you know, Friday night, the night before, we had a rehearsal dinner. He said, "Oh, we can do it at 9 o'clock. Or go till 9 o'clock. Fine." At 8 o'clock, he's shooing people away. And I'm like, hey, man, what happened to 9 o'clock? And he's like, well, the contract that Stacy drew up. Stacy was our coordinator, said 8 o'clock, and I'm like, well, I didn't see nor sign that fucking contract, asshole. Plus you told me 9 o'clock. Another example, on Friday night you don't need a bartender, we'll just have some, you know, we pass some wines, bottles of wine around. We get there and he's like, no, you gotta have a bartender. So fortunately our catering company had a bartender, but like they had to pull that guy off of his normal duties to go be a bartender on Friday, even though we agreed that we didn't need a bar. It was just a laundry list of saying one thing and doing another. And then, oh, how dare I express my opinion and displeasure via a Yelp review. And I was like, isn't that the fucking point of Yelp, asshole? Like, do customers not have any recourse? You're going to take thousands of dollars from us and give us a laundry list of demands, but I'm not allowed to say anything. So let the record state, Your Honor, go back and find any social media post or any podcast where I instructed anyone to review bomb this fuckface. I did not. Go fuck yourself.
You just listened. You listed the business by name and said I had a bad time with it, which is just what you can do on Yelp.
Yeah.
Here's my name. Here's the business by name, and I had a bad time with that.
Yeah.
So I'm not a lawyer, but I don't see how that's any different than if you went on Yelp, like, this place sucks. Here's my name. I didn't like it for this reason. Here's my podcast. I didn't like it for this reason. You didn't commandeer a fleet.
Yeah. Well, and the guy's fucking full of shit, too, because he opened the letter with, he quoted me, because we had a phone call the other day right before all this, because he owed my father-in-law money. And I'm like, hey, where's my phone? You know, he had to give him a deposit. And then he took a couple $100 out and was going to mail him the rest. I'm like, well, you know. And he was even like, oh, it'll come. And I even said, hey, as big of a fucking prick as you've been about this whole thing, imagine if we owed you money. Mm-hmm. You'd be calling us, no? Well, it's been 3 weeks. You still owe my father-in-law some money. That's why I'm calling. Where's his fucking money? And, he misquoted me. He said, oh, in the in the cease and desist letter, it said that I said, I'm going to ruin your business. He said he had a phone call recording of me saying, I'm going to ruin your business. I never fucking said that, idiot. I said, so send me that recording because I'd love to hear it, because that's not what I fucking said, you know.
Well, hashing this out on a podcast is the best way to remedy it.
So, yeah, point is, like, but like literally, so you dampen the mood of the whole wedding, and then a month later, I'm still dealing with the shit. You're sending me fucking legal threats because I dare post one Yelp review. My point is, if you posted some review.
The point is, we know where it is, and we should be showing up there every weekend.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Great business. Good job.
Casa de Monte Vista, mm-hmm. Palm Springs, California. Yeah.
Lovely management.
So. Super cool, dude.
Super, super chill. Super chill, super compromising, super understanding, very flexible.
Dave, yeah. I got to go pee. Are we doing a double episode?
If you want to host a book club meeting, it's a great venue. But no, I'm good, man.
I'm going to go pee.
It's good catching up, buddy.
Are we end it? You want to end it?
Let's land this plane.
You want to roll it for two episodes?
Nah, man.
You got more shit to talk?
I think about it.
More, you got chest. More grievances to air?
I should probably save my voice. I've been struggling.
So, save your voice,
my
Dave.
My throat.
Dave's been blowing it out. Now I realize how low I've been talking this whole episode.
That's all right, buddy. We can fix it in post. So, yeah, man.
Just tell this dude that owns the wedding venue, hey, buddy, you're about to get fixed in post.
I'm sure I'll get it.
And be like, what does that mean? It'd be like, I'll fucking straighten your nose in your casket.
Yeah, you said that. I didn't say any of that. I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, no, it sounded cool.
It did sound cool.
Like I said that.
Yeah.
Me, Kyle, I don't even know who we're talking about. But I'll fix you in post. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? I'll straighten your nose in your casket.
Oh, man.
Meaning I'll punch your face to death. Mm-hmm. And then I'll make you look slightly better. In your fucking pine shuttle to the netherworlds.
That's pretty good.
I'm making weird eye contact.
That's all right, buddy.
Because I was leaning in to check the levels, and I realized my levels were sexy. And now I'm just leaning over shit, talking in a and talking in a vibe.
Go pee, buddy.
All right.
The Boogie Monster.
Podcast Network.